Oh, hi everybody, this is fantastic. We've had a Bible reading, we've had a sermon, we've got a Bible reading, and we've got another sermon. How good is that? And so I'm thinking, we'll just get to the end of this and maybe we'll get someone up to read another passage and we'll get Albie to come down and give another one. Yeah. Well, maybe next week. Anyway, this is great. So at Matthew 6 verse 12, we're working our way through the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6 verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts. So I'm going to make two brief points today. Firstly, forgiveness is freely available in Jesus. And secondly, because of Jesus, forgiveness flows through the whole of life. Here we go. Forgiveness is freely available in Jesus. So the next request in the Lord's Prayer actually brings before God our very greatest need. Yes, we need daily bread, as we've heard. But what is our greatest need? And our very greatest need is the forgiveness of sins. Because without forgiveness, how is it possible to stand in the presence of a great and holy God? But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? Malachi 3 verse 2. So the word here for sin is debt. Forgive us our debts. It's the idea, I mean, still fine to pray, forgive us our sins, forgive us our trespasses, but the word, actual word here in the original is our debts. It's the idea that we commit a sin of any description, we're bringing dishonour onto God, and so we're incurring a debt against God who loved us and who brought us into being. So it's a bit like running up a debt on MasterCard that you've got no way of paying off, $1 billion debt. And I don't know if there's someone here today who's sitting there thinking, oh, actually I am a billionaire. Could be. Excellent. God wants you to use your money well. So let us talk to you about that. Albie will talk to you. I will talk to you. Josiah, our poor student minister, Corn, Aaron, one of those will talk to you. It's good to use your money well, but that's not the point, okay? So in your case, if you are a billionaire, imagine a trillion dollar debt. The point is, we owe more to God than we can ever hope to pay. That's what sin is like. We are building up a debt of dishonour against a great and holy God, and we really can't do anything about it. What does the debt look like? Well, Jesus gives us actually very clear examples in the previous chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. He says, if we've hated somebody, then in the eyes of God, that is as bad as committing murder. You can see that in Matthew 5 verse 22. If we've gazed at a woman or a man we're not married to with the intent to stir up lust, our own or theirs, then in God's eyes we've committed adultery. Matthew 5 verse 28 says that. Jesus makes a summary statement. In Matthew 5 verse 20 he says that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, who were people who were known for being very righteous, then we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So, how wonderful it is that although that is the reality of our relationship with God, here God himself, in the Lord Jesus, teaches us that it is okay to come to him and ask forgiveness. Indeed, we must. That's what he's telling us to do. This is how you should pray. Forgive us our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. And that when we do that, we can ask forgiveness in this full and complete and confident expectation that, yes, God hears and answers and will indeed forgive. Just like we learned when we were doing that series in the book of Leviticus, God loves us so much that he wants and he actually does provide this way to draw near to him, even though we shouldn't be able to. And he does it through the offering of sacrifice. In the Old Testament, That's the blood of bulls and goats. So that the shedding of blood means the payment of the death penalty that we deserve. Results in forgiveness, results in atonement, at least for a while. In the New Testament, forgiveness comes through the far better and eternal sacrifice of Jesus himself. So, suppose you've sinned against someone. Suppose your sin is quite serious. Suppose you then learn that the other person, the one that you've offended, still loves you and still holds you in high regard. All they want you to do is come back and ask forgiveness. That's all. Well, that's the situation between us and God. Despite everything we've done, despite our debts, he stands ready to forgive. More than that, he has sent Jesus to let us know that that is the case and to make forgiveness possible. So Jesus teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts. And honestly, I can't think of anything that is more wonderful when it comes to our relationship with God, that despite everything, God is ready to forgive us. Isn't that glorious? That's the news of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts. And he does. He really does. Now, that's wonderful. The second half of this request might just make us step back a bit, because what does Jesus teach us to say? Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Possibly, therefore, our minds turn to people who have hurt us and they haven't even apologised. They might not even be aware of how much they've hurt us. They might even be offended. I haven't done anything wrong, they say to us. Much as we might try to say the same things, I don't need forgiveness. I haven't done anything wrong. So, first of all, let's understand the big point here, and that is this. Because of Jesus and his forgiveness of us, forgiveness flows through to the whole of life. Don't get me wrong, I'm going to give you an example here. It's about gambling. I'm against gambling, right, in any form. Unless you're playing for matchsticks or 5-cent pieces, even then, let's not get carried away. Family relationships have been ruined through that board game, Monopoly. My dad actually refused to play with me ever again when I was in year 11, and he said, I'm never going to play that, and he hasn't. There you go, he's still alive, still won't play. How'd we get onto that? Gambling, right? Occasionally, you hear wonderful stories of people who have won a big prize, and suddenly they're able to say to one or two of their close family members, I mean just quietly, I actually want to give you a gift with no strings attached to help you pay off your debt or your mortgage or to take up some education or business opportunity or travel opportunity that you would never have been able to think about, and now you can because I've won this. And so I want to give something to you. Let's say you did win $10 million in a lottery. Your aunt bought you a ticket because you don't believe in gambling, but that's okay. All of a sudden, you are $10 million richer in a way that you didn't expect and you didn't even work for it. Well, what sort of relative or friend would you be if you turned around and said to your friend Joe, who's fallen on hard times, hello, my friend Joe, you know that $800 that I lent you last month? Well, I've come to collect. And if not, I'll be handing the debt on to Weasel, and Grub, the not-so-friendly local debt collectors, and they will take things from there with interest. Now, look, with just one or two variations, that is exactly the story that Jesus tells in that second reading that Michael brought us in Matthew 18, the passage about the men who owed money and they were both begging for forgiveness. If the great God of all creation has paid off my debt of sin, and that's what the Lord's Prayer tells us that he does, and he's done it through the incredible sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, and done it even when I was his bitter enemy. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If he's done that, well, who am I to turn around and say to my former friend, when you did X, Y, or Z, you really hurt me, and I won't rest until I've had my full revenge on you. And if I can't get that, we will never speak again. Now, if I were sitting where you're sitting, I'd be thinking something like, but what about? But what about what he actually did? What she actually said to me? How they... What about that? What about that? But I think what Jesus is saying here when he says, forgive us our debtors as we give debts as we forgive those who are debtors against us. I think what Jesus is saying is, but me no buts. I gave my life for your forgiveness. So throw yourself into the ocean of Jesus' forgiveness. Be washed. Be made clean. And if you see your enemy, then offer him or her that very same forgiveness. Just let me finish up with this word forgive. The original Greek word for forgiveness can be translated as release or letting go. Okay, so when a man gets super angry, what does he look like? What are his hands doing? Well, they're clenched into a fist. What did Jesus' hands look like when he died on the cross? He let go. He forgave. Jesus' hands are spread out in forgiveness for us. Jesus said, this is from Luke chapter 23, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Friends, we owe a great debt to God, but Jesus tells us, in fact, he commands us to be forgiven and to ask forgiveness. And when we are forgiven, that forgiveness flows out from him to us, to the whole of our lives, to everybody around. It is so wonderful. It is so glorious. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Amen.